Jesus loved them. He heard that they were sick. He was sick, so he waited 2 days to go visit him. Not necessarily the response that we would expect. But throughout this gospel passage, we see the revelation, the unfolding of God's plan. There's so much richness in this passage. And this really does get to the heart of what our life as a disciple, our life in Christ, is all about. So many aspects, so many components contained in these few verses. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. How many of us have prayed for something and we didn't get it and approached Jesus with disappointment? We have comfort in the words today. How many of us have cried at the death of a friend or a loved one? We have solace in the words of the gospel today. When Jesus encountered the death of his friend, it says he was perturbed and greatly troubled. Have you ever been perturbed? Maybe someone's sitting in your favorite seat right now and you're perturbed. Or, you know, maybe the Wi-Fi was too slow. Or, you know, maybe your avocado toast wasn't made just right and you're perturbed. This word is not really how Jesus felt. If you've ever been around a horse and seen a horse snort with almost anger, that's the word that St. John used to describe the reaction of Jesus to the death of his friend. He snorted with rage, and he was greatly troubled, perturbed. And that word also describes like a bucking bull or a bronco, that revulsion to encounter this. Because Jesus, God, didn't make death. Death is a result of sin, and he came face to face with the consequence of what sin does to our life. When we encounter sin, are we repulsed? Are we greatly troubled? Do we snort with anger when we see the effect of sin in our life, in the life of our family and our friends? Or have we become so accustomed to it, we're just perturbed? Christ came and comes to each one of us to bring us from that tomb, the tomb of death, to call us out to new life. And our friends here who've been walking closely these last 8 or 9 months, meeting weekly to encounter the person of Jesus Christ, who have come to realize that before grace, before baptism, they are truly dead in their sin. And they are hearing Jesus call out to them, come out. And we, the community, have rolled away that stone. And we, the community, are unwrapping the hands that are still binding them so that they can live in the freedom of the Spirit. The freedom that St. Paul wrote about so beautifully to the Romans. The Spirit that Ezekiel prophesied in the first reading. Oh, my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them. I will put my Spirit in you that you may live. And I will settle you upon your land. And then one of the best verses in all of Scripture, one that we should have memorized. God says, I have promised and I will do it. When we speak about Jesus and God entering into a covenant with his people, we talk about the faithfulness of God, his fidelity. He cannot not be faithful. I have promised and I will do it. Do we believe? Do we believe in the promises of Scripture? Do we believe, firstly, that we are dead in our sin and are completely helpless without the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Do we believe that Christ can come to us in that moment of death, in that state of death, and call us to new life? Do we believe? Because that's the question he asked Martha and Mary, and he asks each one of us. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even if you die, you will never die. You will have eternal life. Do you believe? Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, You've come into the world to bring us life. When Jesus asked Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" "I have come to believe you are Christ, the Son of the living God." Our time during this season of Lent, this intense moment of encounter, should bring us to a deeper faith in the life-saving message of Jesus Christ, the life-saving grace that is available to each one of us. Because as Lazarus was dead, so were we. And it is in the waters of baptism where Christ calls us into life. And whenever we go into mortal sin, whenever we choose to turn our back on the love of God and towards ourselves and the self-pleasure and the self-pleasing, the self-gratifying pleasures of this world, whenever we actively separate ourselves from communion with God and His church, and with confidence and humility, we make our way to the sacrament of confession, this happens to us again. That we were dead in our sin and our trespasses, and when the priest says those words of absolution, you can hear in your head Jesus saying, "Come out. Come out." That we don't have to live in the crippled state of sin. Let's think back to a year ago. Where were we? At the beginning of the shutdown, the quarantine, public mass was suspended. And we were forced to strip away all the extra stuff in our life. And it allowed us the freedom to enter into a conversation, a reality with Jesus, to truly allow His Spirit to animate us, to have our focus on Him and on the important things of friends and family and faith. Now, fast forward 12 months. How much of that junk, how much of that death have we allowed back into our life? How much complacency and laziness and indifference are we tolerating in our life today? Jesus looks at you and says, "Come out. Do not be settled. Do not be satisfied with that in your life anymore. Come out." And so we pray for that grace to hear His voice and with confidence to leave the tomb of death, of however it's manifested in our life. This is the promise and the power that Christ has given each one of us. This is the expectation that our friends here are anticipating entering into in 2 short weeks. Oh, my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them. Do we believe? Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. This will be your life in 2 weeks. Where St. Paul says to the Romans, he will be able to say to you, you will be able to read these words with the truth that's not possible for you right now. Brothers and sisters, you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit. And that is true for each one of us if we've been baptized. If we live a life of grace and virtue, this is true. We are not in the flesh. We are not imprisoned to the things of this world. As we see the world collapsing around us, the chaos throughout the world, the chaos in our country, the persecution we're facing, that is not our reality. We've been raised to new life in the Spirit. Why would we ever go back to the tomb, back to the life of death? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Let's pray for the grace to be honest with ourselves, that this last week before we enter Holy Week can be a moment of true conversion. However wonderfully or poorly we have lived Lent so far, let's finish well. Let's finish strong with a sincere desire to put to death the things of death, put to death the things of flesh, and to come out of the tomb So as we walk with Christ during Holy Week, as we sit with our Blessed Mother in silence on Holy Saturday and rise with joy on Easter Sunday, that it can be a reality for us, that we never again go back to the tomb. Listen to his voice calling to you today. Wherever, however small or big, death has taken hold in your life, let it out. Let it go. Confess, repent, and live in the freedom of the Spirit. Christ allowed this to happen so that we can believe. Believe in his life-giving power, his life-giving Spirit. Do we believe?